Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Finding the Origination Point podcast. The origination point is connected to bias awareness and bias deconstruction. And the origination point is the notion that all of our biases, implicit or explicit, have a point in time where they started, where we were given a narrative or had an experience with a small group of people that then we extrapolate to a larger group of people. And the reason why the origination point is so important is because that is the point of healing and understanding. So as we're deconstructing and making our biases more conscious, the origination point supports us in understanding where they came from and healing any emotional impacts that they're currently having in our lives. So sit back, open your mind, open your heart, and let's see if we can find your origination points to bias.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill De La Cruz, and I'm sharing with you a webinar tonight on triggering and what does it mean to be triggered. And I'm doing this because in releasing a lot of my content, I've had a lot of questions from people who have asked me, what does it mean to be triggered? And what do I do when I get triggered? And so I thought I would share some of my thoughts with you and some excerpts from my book as well to give you some ideas about what it means to be triggered. And so I'm going to read a little bit out of my book, Flipping Failure. And that's my second book, and it's called Flipping Failure, A Blueprint for Self-Growth and Transformation. So when someone triggers us emotionally, it can cause the amygdala to go into fight or flight mode, spurring physiological reactions like sweaty palms or a racing heart. Emotional charges and physical feelings that accompany them are indicators showing you where you have room to grow. That's because an emotional charge is usually a sign of something that is unhealed or unresolved, and it is often related to your failure story. And so what triggers are, they're a catalyzing event that happens when we interact with somebody and they do or say something that triggers us, that emotionally triggers us. And you'll know you're emotionally triggered when you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, or you get a sense that something's not quite right. We have a lot of physiological things that happen to us in our body. For some people, your heart might start racing, or you might get a little bit of sweat on your brow, or your palms might get sweaty. For me, one of my triggering indicators is doing this with my hands. So I know that when I'm interacting with somebody and I start doing this with my hands, that I may be in a triggered experience. And basically what that means is that something that's happening in my current interaction is triggering me based on something that happened in my past. Could have been last week, last year, could have been 10 years ago, could have been when I was a child. And if it's remained unhealed for all that time, then I don't know how to process it. And sometimes I didn't even know what my triggering events were, especially when I was a teenager. And so I'm going to read something from my first book, Finding the Origination Point, Understanding Our Biases to Create a More Peaceful World. And when I was a teenager and something happened that I did not like, I was very quick to blame the other person or in some way deflect responsibility. Acting as an emotionally charged victim meant that whatever happened to me was always someone else's fault. And so when I got triggered very young, I would blame the other person. And my first thought question was, well, what's wrong with them? And when I went into that space of what's wrong with them, then of course I'm going to blame them. You're going to have a negative interaction with them. I'll probably say something that is very hurtful or harmful to the relationship. And again, when I was young, as a teenager, I had no awareness that this was even happening. So I was completely unconscious to my triggering events. All I knew is that I got emotionally charged and I was putting myself in a way that I didn't know what was happening. All I knew is that all of a sudden the interaction went really poorly. And so what does it mean to be unaware, or what does it look like to be unaware? Well, it's a really interesting question, because if you're unaware, you don't know that you're unaware. And so the way it might feel is that you do something, somebody calls me on it, I do something, somebody calls me on it, and I say something like, "What do you mean? I didn't do that." Or, "I didn't know," or, "That's not what I meant." And so when we're unaware, it just means that we're not conscious of what's happening. We're not present in the moment. And when we're not present, these triggers can take over our whole interaction, our whole being. And so the idea of being unaware means that I'm not even conscious and present to my interaction that's happening. And a majority of my interactions when I was young, I was completely unaware, because I didn't have that self-awareness. I didn't nurture it. I didn't realize it was a tool. I didn't realize it was something that I could grow. And so walking around the world unaware and unconscious meant that, for the most part, I blamed other people. So that's another way that being unaware can show up and look. Is if you're blaming people for how you're feeling, then chances are that you may not be aware that you're even doing that, or that you're being triggered and the other person's just the catalyst. And so when we talk about being triggered, the trigger is mine. The catalyst is what's happening out here. So it could be a person, it could be an interaction. And the catalyst is just what creates the triggering event, because I have something that I'm not aware of that's unhealed. And so when I get triggered from an unaware place, I have a whole bunch of energy that's connected to it. And all of that energy goes out onto that other person. And for the most part, it's not positive energy, it's negative energy. It's energy that I've been holding on to a long time because it was something that hurt me and is continuing to hurt me. And some people in their 40s, 50s, 60s still get triggered by things that happened to them 20 or 30 years ago. And so the idea of awareness starts with learning to recognize the physiological signs that you're triggered. So what is it that happens in your body when you become emotionally charged? And I use the language of emotional charge because that's really what's happening. When I get triggered, I get emotionally charged. I have all of this emotion that is within me that all of a sudden comes to the surface. And once it's on the surface, it's just going to go out to people completely uncontrolled. And so the first indicator of that emotional energy is a physiological sign. And like I said, it could be your brow starts sweating, your heart starts beating, you might start breathing differently, you might clench your fists, you might stiffen up. Those are all physiological signs that you are about to, or that you're already in the process of being triggered. And the most important thing is to not ignore those sensations. Don't just feel that physiological sign and then act like it's not important, or that it's not something that you should pay attention to. Pay attention to it. When you ignore these sensations, you're much likelier to find yourself in deep conflict with others. And so if you want to stay out of conflict, then recognize the signs. And as a strategy, sometimes when you recognize that sign, you could also take a breath ask a question, excuse yourself from the conversation for a moment and just say, you know what, I feel like I've become very emotionally charged in our interaction, and I just need to take a break. Can I come back and chat with you when I calm down? So just really thinking about what do you need to do once you get emotionally charged? So if you can identify the physiological signs, then you can begin to stop, feel, and evaluate to get yourself the discomfort of the emotional charge without lashing out. So the thing about being emotionally triggered or emotionally charged is it never really ends. We have these experiences throughout our whole life. And as much as I've done my own work and am aware of my triggers, I still get emotionally triggered in certain interactions. What I've done, though, is I've created strategies, and I understand this idea of stop, feel, and evaluate to really get myself out of it, because I don't want to lash out and attack the other person. So when you experience an emotional charge, practice pausing for a moment before reacting and really thinking about what you want to do. And so, are there things we can learn from being triggered and having emotional charges? Absolutely. There are so many lessons in our emotional charges and our triggers that we have access to. There's so much understanding and there's so much awareness within them. So when I would get triggered, it was usually because of an experience that I had when I was young. So I grew up in an abusive home. My dad was beating up on me when I was 9 years old and saying all these terrible things to me about not being successful, never amount to anything, never accomplish anything, all these things I was being told as a young person. And so those were my triggers. And my triggers weren't so much those particular words. My triggers were people who were not nice to other people, people who demeaned and yelled at other people, or people who didn't see the worth of another human being. And it could have been a parent yelling at their child. It could have been one of my friends demeaning one of my other friends. It could have been somebody just telling me something simple like, you didn't do this project well enough. So our triggers aren't necessarily caused by some really magnanimous thing that someone says or does. They could be just something as simple as someone telling me when I was a teenager that I didn't do a good job. And all of a sudden, I'm emotionally triggered because I didn't do a good job. Takes me all the way back to I'm worthless and I'll never amount to anything, because that's my trigger. And so the learning is rooted in finding the origination point of our triggers. And so that's really the idea of finding the origination point, which is the title of my first book, is that there's an origination point to everything that we experience. And especially as we become adults, the interactions that we have that create emotional charges and our triggers, the lesson there is to stop and try to figure out what's the origination point. So obviously the origination point for me was growing up in a home where I was devalued as a child. So it was pretty simple for me to realize that over time. The hard part was the healing. So to heal meant that I had to forgive both myself and the perpetrator, which in this case was my dad, because I couldn't continue to hold on to it because it was causing a lot of problems in my relationships. I couldn't talk to the person that instigated it upon me because we didn't have that kind of relationship. And I had to figure out a way to move through it. So the lessons in understanding your emotional charges and your triggers are rooted in finding the origination point. That's the point of understanding and healing. So once I understood where my trigger came from, then I could start to heal it and do my own self-healing. Because what I realized is that as long as I was letting that experience trigger me, I was giving all of my control over to other people, because I was saying, if you treat me in the way that I want to be treated, then I'm going to engage with you. And if you don't, then I'm going to demean you, because that's how I was treated. And so the lesson is really in how deep do you want to go in your own personal growth process to be able to let go of that emotional trigger. So today, when people say things to me, I get triggered less and less and less every day, because number one, I don't take things as an affront to me. So when people say things, I can turn around and say, well, tell me more about that. How did you experience me? I don't immediately take it in to my own shame or blame or judgment about, oh, they're talking about me. And so that's that whole pausing for a moment and really thinking about, how do I want to respond to this? And so the lesson is rooted in the understanding that the triggering event, the emotional charge, is an indicator of some growth for each of you as human beings. Now, you have to then figure out what that growth area is. And this is where journaling really takes an important role in your growth process, is to write down the triggering event. And you have to do this really succinctly. So you have to write down, what did you hear? What did the person say? How was it said? Maybe it was a body language trigger. Maybe it was just a benign set of words, but somebody said it with their arms crossed or with a facial feature, or they rolled their eyes, and you put some meaning to that, because our triggers aren't always rooted in what's said. Sometimes they're rooted in how we perceive the way that the words are being delivered. And we connect that to that person that did the same thing to me 10, 20, 30 years ago. And so really starting to go deep into the journaling piece and how did it begin? How is it still affecting you? So for example, I'll stick with the trigger that I just shared with you. So the trigger was that I'm not good enough. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be successful. And that created this whole narrative in my head about who I was. And every time somebody told me that I didn't do good enough, I would go to the depths of that triggered emotional experience, that I was just a bad person and I would never amount to anything. I'd never be successful. And so what I had to do was to realize that, number one, that was a false narrative that was given to me by somebody else. So what I learned is that I don't have to carry around false narratives, especially the ones that are put upon me. And what I was doing was this false narrative of shame and judgment of myself resulted in anybody who told me anything that I perceived as, you're saying I'm less than, boom, I got emotionally triggered and I lashed out at them. And so what I learned is that, number one, I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive my dad, and I had to create a new narrative. My new narrative was, I can accomplish anything that I want. So as I did that over and over again, and when I first started that, I didn't even believe it. And then as I said it more and more, and as I was more successful at doing the things that I wanted to do, I started to believe it more and more. And so what I learned is that I can shift my thinking and my narratives so that they lose their connection to my emotional trigger, because everything starts up here. Everything starts in our head. And so our mindset drives our actions, which drives our outcomes. And so what I've learned today is that all of your triggering effects and all the emotional charges that we have are connected to a narrative. So if you can first understand the narrative, write about it, write about how you experienced it and how it feels, then you can start to create a new narrative. And a new narrative is something that's completely counter to whatever your limiting narrative is. And so really thinking about putting it on your phone, putting it on Post-its, writing it in your journal, and saying it every day. I said that narrative every day. I can accomplish anything I want. And today when people, because I'm out there in the world talking to a lot of people, and some of my work resonates with some people and some of it doesn't. And when it doesn't resonate and people come and tell me that, I don't get triggered like I used to. I just ask them, well, really, what was it that could have been different that would have engaged you more? Or was there a question you'd like to ask that we could talk about right now? It took me a long time to get there. And yet what I've learned is that I can do that. And sometimes I have to do my own process. Pretty much every time I have to do my own process. So what do you do when you're experiencing emotional charge? Stop, step back, take a deep breath. Then ask yourself or the person you're interacting with a question. Question could be, tell me more. What do you mean? How did you experience me? Those are all questions. When you ask a question, it gives you a brief moment to just compose yourself. So it doesn't necessarily matter what the question is. The point is to give yourself a minute or two to sit with whatever triggered you and the feelings that arise as a result. It's important to let yourself fully feel the emotions and acknowledge the thoughts and narratives that came up when you're emotionally triggered. Then you start to evaluate. When was the first time that you felt the way that you feel now? What's the story behind that feeling? How does this moment connect to your early experiences? And so the idea of this is not approaching it from right and wrong or blaming others, really approaching it from being inquisitive and curious and wondering about what's happening? Why is this happening? And if you're unaware of the root of your emotional charge, it just continues to negatively impact your interactions and relationships. So learning to stop, feel, and evaluate when you're emotionally triggered, it's a practice. It's not a perfection. And starting is often the most difficult part, because when you own your triggers and your emotional charges, you start to become responsible for what's happening in your interactions. And if you've, like me, been blaming other people for a long time, it's really hard to now say, gosh, I really own this. I really am the reason why this relationship didn't go very well. But if you're consistent with this practice of awareness and ownership, it'll become a natural part of who you are and how you move through the world. And so track the emotional charges throughout your day. Just as a matter of practice, start going home and write down, how were you triggered today? So why do we get triggered by people who have things that I want but don't have? So that's an interesting question. Why do I get triggered by things, by people who have things that I want, but I don't have? So that is a really interesting question. So my family life was completely dysfunctional. And I always wanted to be loved, to be told I was, you know, my parents were proud of me or that they respected me. And when I would go to my friend's house and I would hear how their parents talked to them, and I would see how they treated them. And granted, I was only there for a snapshot, so I don't know if this was their whole interaction. That's a whole other story that I made up. The little bit that I saw, though, it triggered me because I thought, oh gosh, I never had that. Wouldn't it be great if somebody, if one of my parents told me they were proud of me, or that they respected me, or that they loved me no matter what, or that I could accomplish anything? Because those weren't narratives. And so I think when we are triggered because we see something that someone else has that we don't, it still goes back to our original narrative and story of how we were treated. And so I could be triggered by someone who is demeaning somebody, especially a family member against another family member, since that was my experience. I could also be triggered by being in a home where the whole family was really loving and kind and interacting with each other, because it's something that I so much wanted that I get emotionally charged, realizing that, gosh, other people have that. Why didn't I? And I start to again feel like a victim. So the cyclical process of it, whether it's from that demeaning perspective or whether it's me recognizing that somebody has something that I don't, it's like these two paths that still converge back to the same hurt story that I or you experienced whenever that happened. For me, it was when I was a child. And so recognize that we can be triggered through a whole variety of different ways, from what we have, what we don't have, how we've been treated. Even in our professional lives, we can get triggered. So I do a lot of facilitating and working with people. And sometimes I hear or see people who have what I think are these really great keynotes, or they get a really great contract. And I used to get really triggered about, well, why don't I have that? Why didn't they call me? Why didn't I get that job? And again, even from a professional perspective, that's rooted in my own I'm not enough story. And so when we have all these different experiences, personal, professional, whatever they are, the root is our own unhealed past. And to rid ourselves of that, we just need to heal our past and realize that what I see on LinkedIn or Facebook of somebody doing something, that's just a little snapshot. I don't know what the rest of their life is like. I don't know if that's the only job that they had that year. I don't know whether they did it for free or whether they got $1 million for it. I don't have any of the backstory. And so I end up making up a big story about it. And it's probably not even true. And what I've realized is that I just have to find my core. I have to just be who I am. In fact, I had a dream last night where I was doing something and somebody was causing me to do something I didn't want to do. And I last thing I remember before I woke up is, I have to find my core. I have to stay in my core. So what is your core? What is it that really drives you, excites you, that gets you up in the morning? Who are you? And who would you be if you weren't rooted in stories that are emotionally triggering, stories that are rooted in blame and shame and judgment? So it's a really deep topic, as you can see. And in our app, which is called Connected, CNCTD, we're creating a community of people who want to continue to have this conversation. So if this is something that intrigues you, then please subscribe to that and you'll have more opportunity. Before I'm done today, though, I want to share something else with you that I learned about myself over the years of my own journey, and it's called self-protective systems. And so self-protective systems or strategies are survival mechanisms that we've created when we have a real or perceived threat in an instinctual, emotional fashion. There are go-to strategies, and they are expanded on beyond fight, flight, or freeze. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Self-protective default behaviors, mine, were to judge, blame, and shame other people as much as I could. I was completely unaware of it, and yet it was something that I was doing all of the time. And so this idea of self-protective behaviors are our go-to behaviors that we use to protect ourselves. And at some point, they served us. You know, at some point in our lives, these self-protective behaviors, they served me in that they kept something at bay that was hurtful to me. So it was kind of like my dome of defensiveness, where something hurtful came in and my self-protective behavior would keep it out. And when I was younger and I got thrown, I would drop right into a self-protective behavior of blaming the other person. And so the idea of this is thinking about what are your own self-protective behaviors? So here's a list of self-protective behaviors. And as you hear these, I want you to think about if you do these to yourself or other people. So I'm just going to read the list. Intimidation or domination, discrediting others' competence, blaming, I'll do it myself, being a martyr, acting politically or being nice or tough, self-righteousness, making others wrong, making excuses. If you have the ability to restrict information, restricting the flow of information, withdrawal, cynicism and despair, self-sabotage, disempowering others, sarcasm, humor, intellectualization, acting confused, coalition building, and there's a whole plethora of others. And the idea of this is to realize that we all have these self-protective behaviors. And if you can become aware of these behaviors, then you can start to break them down one at a time. And so these behaviors may start out as subconscious and unconscious. Like my most go-to behaviors were blaming, shaming, judging, and discrediting. And when I was young, it was just part of who I was. I wasn't really aware of it. So they were all below the surface. So that I'm sure many of you have seen that iceberg picture where it shows 10% of the iceberg up here and 90% of it below the water. Well, that's me. That's a lot of us, where 90% of what I do was below the water. So I couldn't see it. I didn't know about it. I wasn't aware of it. And so they started out as subconscious. As I became more aware, and I started to realize that I'm a shamey, blamey, judging, demeaning person, I had to start to take ownership for it and bring them up from the surface of the water into the light. So now I could see them. And I couldn't take them all on at once. It was too much. So I had to look at which was the one that was the most harmful to me and my relationships. And I would say that one was playing the victim, which blaming and shaming are indicators of someone who's in a victim mentality. And so I had to start to take ownership, because when I was playing the victim, I was basically saying that everything that's happening to me is because of what's going on out here in the world. And that if the world just changed, I'd be okay. Basically, what I was saying is if the people I was interacting with would change, then everything would be fine. And that's ridiculous, because I can't control what other people do. I can't control how the world shows up to me every day. The only thing that I have any control over is how I walk through the world. And so the idea is to think about which is the one that's causing you the most challenge, that's creating the most conflict. And so when I realized that I was a victim or a blamer and a shamer, I would do that to myself and I would do that to other people. So these self-protective strategies were just as hurtful, because I put them upon myself, and then I put them upon others. I would shame and blame myself. Oh, you're so stupid, or your dad was right, or see, you really can't do anything. You should be ashamed of yourself. What a bad person you are. And so that's the other part of this whole conversation around triggers and emotional charges in our self-protective strategies is they just don't impact our relationships with other people. They impact our relationship with ourself. And I always started with myself. So the way that I started practicing to not be a victim was I started to take ownership for what was happening. So I had to shift my narrative. So my narrative was, what's wrong with you? And now I had to say, what is it about me that created the experience that that other person is having? See, that's a different conversation. What's wrong with you is the victim mentality that says that you did something wrong to make me feel this way. What is it about how I behave that is creating the experience or adding to the experience I'm having with you is a way to stop being a victim and take ownership. And so I had to start doing that. And sometimes it was hard to hear because they would say, you did this or you said this. And then I'd want to go to my other self-protective strategy about being defensive. Oh, no, I didn't. Or no, you're wrong. Or you don't understand. And I had to stop doing that too, because that was also hurting me and the other person. And so I hope what you can start to see is that these are all connected. There's not like, now I'm just going to be a victim and now I'm just going to blame somebody. It's more like this. It's just all intertwined. And as individuals, we all have to think about what is the one that's having the biggest impact. So just think of your own life. So I'm going to end with just having you create some practices. Think of your own life. What is it that gets you the most emotionally charged more times in a day? So to do that, you're going to have to track it. You're going to have to start to journal. And that's why I say, start a triggering journal. Go home at the end of every day and write down all the times that you were triggered or emotionally charged. And then start to connect that to, how is that connected to a personal experience that I had whenever it was? And then connect that to the behaviors. In my first book, Finding the Origination Point, there's a self-assessment tool that basically starts with your thought, your behavior, your action, and your outcome. And so from using that tool for a triggering process, your thought would be, connected to that triggering event, not good enough, or I don't trust people. Your behavior would be then, how do I behave? Well, I don't trust people and I'm probably standoffish. My action is I don't want to get to know people. And my outcome is I don't have many people who really want to engage with me. And so that's also available on our app, Connected, CNCTD. And it gives you a baseline for where you are, because you have to have a starting place. This whole idea of personal growth, self-growth, and transformation, you can't take everything on at once. You want to start with, I always start with what's the most challenging. So I got this thing. I used to paint houses. And one of the things around painting houses and buildings, there was this whole philosophy that you always started at the hardest part. So if it was a 40-foot building, you always started at the top and worked your way down, because the top was the most challenging, hardest place to get to. And as you got lower and lower, it got easier and easier, to where now I was standing on the ground just holding a brush and painting. And so the way that I extrapolate that into personal growth is, think about what's the most challenging for you right now. As hard as it might feel, tackle that one first. Because if you can tackle your greatest emotional charge, if you can step into what is most fearful to you, chances are that as you move down the ladder, you'll start to be able to deconstruct all of those other patterns that are not getting the results that you want. And so I'll just end by saying what's most challenging for me right now. I'm really happy to say that I don't get triggered very often. And when I do, it's typically around people who say they care about other people, then treat them poorly, or people who talk about wanting to get along with somebody and then create a huge conflict with them. And my triggering is much different today because I have control over my emotional charges. So when I was younger, I had no control of it. I was unaware. They just went and just covered the person with horrible things. Today, when I get triggered, I can step back, ask a question, gain more clarity, and hopefully fill that person with something different to think about or to talk about or a question to just start to wonder about what might be different. And so I can tell you that this practice and these things that I'm sharing with you, they work because I use them every day. I use them every day to be calm. I live in this same crazy divided world that you all live in. I live in this same crazy cancel culture where people are afraid to say things that you all live in. And I have found a way to move through this that lowers the drama, lowers my emotional triggering, and grounds me in creating connections with people from a whole variety of perspectives. And I know that that's available for all of you. So I want to thank you for listening and for connecting with us. You can connect through our app. And if you've watched this video and you would like to get a copy of my book, Flipping Failure, A Blueprint for Self-Growth and Personal Transformation, connect with us on our website, De La Cruz Leadership Solutions. And there'll be a link there where you can get a free e-copy of my book and connect on our app, CNCTD, and you'll be part of a whole community of people. I want to create a global community of folks that want to have these conversations and do this work. So thank you for listening, engaging, sending me your thoughts and questions. And we also have a podcast called The Origination Point. I'm always looking for guests to interview about their own personal journey and growth process. So if that's something that is of interest to you, reach out to us, subscribe to our Instagram. We're on all the social media, so you can find us pretty much anywhere. So thank you all, and remember, keep growing.
You've been listening to the Origination Point podcast with your host, Bill De La Cruz. If you find the content compelling, please share, subscribe, and continue listening, as you are the reason why this is so important to us. You can also reach out to us on our website at www.delacruzsolutions.com. If you have a question or comment, or maybe you have a compelling story to share, please reach out to us and let us know about anything you are interested in or that you think would be helpful as you continue on your own personal growth journey. And we really appreciate you being a part of our why and our dream, which is to create a more humane world. And most importantly, keep growing. Thanks again for listening to the Origination Point podcast, and we will see you in the next episode.